it's a wonderful day to kind of again here to continue to worship together, to pray together, and even to hear the word of the Lord together. Our readings this morning are really, really rich readings, and there is quite a lot going on in the readings that we have read today. Starting from that reading from Hosea, a really, really difficult, you know, reading for us to have this morning. About unfaithfulness of the children of Israel, and God asking Hosea the prophet to do something that really is very difficult. To Paul himself writing the charge of Colossians. For this morning I will want us to probably just look at the passage in Luke. Of course this passage follows on from what we had last week, after Jesus had visited Mary and Martha in their home. And of course it concluded those wonderful words Jesus said, Mary has chosen the best thing. The next thing, Jesus is taking to a second place, a place that is not mentioned, it's not named. He has no idea where he is, but he is in a second place. This second place, what is he doing? He is praying. And he's not by himself, he is with his disciples. And one of his disciples says to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. And just this topic of this gospel reading to me just encourages me and hits me quite different, especially this morning. We see Jesus in a place where he is unknown. We see Jesus already praying, something that his disciples are not engaged in. But Jesus is already engaged in that thing that the disciples soon will be engaged in. Jesus already at work in places that we ourselves are not yet engaged in. Jesus already at work in our lives, in places and spaces where we ourselves might not even be recognized that he is at work. There is one musician who wrote a song by the name Waymaker, and she says that even if I do not see it, I know that you are working. Even if I do not feel it, I know that you are working. You never stop walking. You are here with me. That really did hit me, just reading those passages, those lines of scripture. If the disciples were not quite sure what to do with this thing called prayer, Jesus was already in those things. This day, it is a really good thing to be encouraged. Jesus is even in places we might not recognize. But the disciples showed great humility, great vulnerability. He said, we do not know how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And at the heart of prayer is that vulnerability, a recognition that by ourselves we are indeed incapable. So we reach out. We reach out and invite God to intervene in our affairs, in our circumstances. And God, help us out here. And of course, Jesus does not harm this situation. He responds in two parts. First of all, he gives them a model of prayer that we have come to refer to afterwards, prayer. And secondly, he tells them their attitude while praying. Let's look at these two things. The model of prayer and the attitude to prayer. I will talk very briefly about the model of prayer, but I will go in a little depth in the attitude of prayer. The prayer that Jesus shows them and tells them is actually to refer to us, the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, the New Testament and in the Gospel, is recorded twice. First of all in Matthew chapter 6, and then here in Luke chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 6, it's very clear where Jesus is. He is giving that Sermon on the Mount. Immediately after his baptism, he goes to teach it, he trains people. That very long Sermon that Jesus gave from Matthew chapter 5, all the way from 4. We know where he is. We know what Jesus is doing. But of course, that prayer, Pascha Isaiah, is a bit longer than the one that we have in Luke, the one that we have today. And if you're quite interested in this, you will notice that the version that is in Matthew is somehow shorter than the version that we normally say every Sunday. What do I say every Sunday? There is that phrase of praise that has been added onto it, or the doxology, if you would want the technical word. The phrase that we usually say, "For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." In Matthew, that phrase of praise is not there. In Luke, it's even way shorter, the one that we have read this morning. Well, if you want to chat about why they're different, you know, have your answer for coffee, I'm very happy to chat about all that. It's something to do like the translation, the translation, and things like that. Happy to chat more about that. But if we look at what Luke put down, what Luke thought at least was the best thing to record at that particular time, there are quite a number of things that are recorded on that prayer. Of course, it starts with saying, "Our Father who art in heaven," with an aspect of adoration. And then straight after that is that plea of asking God for his kingdom to come and be together with us. That kingdom of God where God is the one who reigns. The kingdom of God where there is justice and righteousness. A kingdom where there is peace. A kingdom where death and sickness are defeated. And how so much, as it was those days, that we long for that kingdom of God to come. Of course, the next few lines talks about give us a daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Do not lead us into temptation. Really, really profound about the relationship with God and but I might say that I just want to judge quickly on that model and really talk a bit in depth about the attitude. So soon after Jesus giving them this model of prayer, the Lord's Prayer, he very quickly comes to tell them about the attitude to prayer. And he does this by telling them a parable. A parable about the friend who knocked the door at midnight. It is as well a very rich parable. And we just highlight a few things. First of all, we do have the main character. And Jesus invites us and invites his listeners to take the place of the main character in this parable. Quite a few things you notice about this main character. First of all, he seems to have quite a number of friends. He has a friend who visits him at night, who comes to his home, and also he has this other friend to whom he goes to ask for bread. We have no idea whether these two friends know each other, but nonetheless they do know this main character. We have no idea as to why this friend is struggling late at night. We have no idea why he just seemed to have rocked up rather than say in advance that he will be coming. But the character of this main character of this parable is nonetheless to open up his home. To not only offer a sanctuary for this friend of his who's struggling late at night, but also to go out of his way to find food for his friend. Of course, as the story goes on, you begin asking more questions if you have no answers to. Because you have no idea what family this main character has. You don't know who else is in this household. But nonetheless, he leaves this visitor in his house and goes off into the dark, into the night, to this our friend's house to be able to see food. The main character is a gentleman who has been cut. Someone who is willing to go out for the sake of his friends. He also seems to be someone who knows where to find solutions to this problem. He might have had other friends, but he went to this particular friend's house. And he seemed very confident that this other friend had loaves of bread. Not just one loaf of bread, but three loaves of bread. Of course, you have no idea as to how he knows this. Maybe they spent the whole day together baking bread together. Maybe he visited a friend and probably he bring some bread to him. So he was very well aware of his other friend and bread. Of course, he gets to his friend's house. Not for the door. And the friend is not willing to wake up from the door. Friends. The very valid reason, I must say, very valid reason. Try spending hours putting a child to bed, especially along King Edward's Island. Then you have wonderful people with amazing, brilliant cars, V5, V8, and just cruising down King Edward's Island. You really want to be a get up. So you can understand why you just like, actually, I'm not going to move, because if I stand up and move, might be two or three more hours setting my children to bed. In other words, he had a very valid reason as to why getting up and offering bread to his friend. That's not just a person who was after him for his son. But the main character of the story persists. And Jesus said, out of this decision, his friend will get up and offer the bread. Not just the bread, but the bread of the things that he needs. This morning, as you are reading the scripture, especially in Hosea, some of the words that are being used there, the translation is quite complicated. And translation, of course, comes to the words that are used in Bible, in season and time. The word that has been used here as a hero, that is really not a very faithful translation to the original word. The original word is shameless. The gentleman was shameless in knocking the door. For him, it was not about, he was not ashamed of waking up the whole neighborhood. For him, it was more about the bread. My friend had come to his bed. He was not ashamed to wake up the family of the gentleman. He was not ashamed for the whole neighborhood to hear that probably his friend had told him that he was going to come and he had not made any arrangements whatsoever. But he shamelessly was not on that door. And Jesus said, according to faithful translation, because of this shamelessness, the friend will be wake up and give him whatever it is that he needs. It's growing. It is too much. It's growing. While we're writing on this passage in the 1960s, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Stated a few things that I would just want to highlight. The first of all, the thing that he notices in this passage is that it was midnight. And he goes on to say, it is also midnight in our world. And we are experiencing a darkness so deep that we can hardly see which way to come. He goes ahead and says, now the Middle East has had a headline over the last few days. But it should not all cause us to forget that there is another way. He continues to say, the Nations of the world are engaged in a bitter and tragic contest for supremacy. And you see the real danger is that if we don't change our course in this matter, all of the modern weapons of warfare will soon conspire to bring an untimely end to the human family on this earth. How things have changed since 1960. How things have changed. I do wonder what is your midnight moment? What is your midnight situation? I wonder whether you know where to turn to, whom to go to. And may I suggest turning to Jesus Christ. Because for him, he not only has three loaves of bread, he is the bread of life. He will sustain us, he will encourage us, and he will You see, the purpose of Jesus saying this parable is not to say that we have to carry on this existence so that God can fulfill the desires of our hearts and be our friends. No. If anything, it is what we contrast it and say, God is not like that. God is always willing to listen to us. God is always willing to give unto us. God is always willing to offer the thing to us. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, when you pray, pray with this attitude, in this confidence, that as we open our mouths to pray, God is willing to listen. And he is not like other people, where we have to do so much for us to be happy. The words of that glorious hymn of the friend we have in Jesus seems to sum it up quite a lot. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace and open hope. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. God is willing to hear us. Let us pray. Let us offer ourselves unto him. And he is willing to hear us. We have had many testimonies of God hearing us and God answering prayer. If you have liked this, you can to have the Reverend Carmen Justice Rwanda and Deborah. And they lead the work of International Needs in Uganda. International Needs is one of the charities that we support here in this church. And part of the work that they do there is to share the love of Jesus Christ in their community, as Christian leaders in their community, sharing the word, the love of Jesus Christ. They work in a place called Wiki. Surrounding areas in Uganda where they have multiple ministries. Just as this year on retreat, so we will not ask him to take quite a lot of time. One day we will invite him to take quite a lot. But ministries in terms of supporting children with education, livelihood training, supporting water projects and sanitation. But at the heart of this whole is sharing the transformative truth of the gospel of our Lord and Savior. And just as can attest to the many answered prayers that we have witnessed in this country and in this community that we have. So currently, chat with me and I'll come back and we will share many more stories. We're going to speak to others, she knows much more about the Council of International Women. But as I conclude, I want to invite us to endeavor here. Maybe they do have a song to sing for us. Just to conclude this sermon, we might need the Holy Spirit to translate what they're going to say. But again, it's just one of those things where we say thank you to God for hearing us and God for listening to us.
Thank God, we came for basic convention in the late recover rest by their home. I worked in Mali in Hawaii, worked in International Youth UK, I worked in International Youth Uganda. My wife supports me, but she works in the nurse work in Uganda. You want to sing a song, a hymn, it is in Uganda, it's not in English. But it's the language that will be spoken in heaven. So you have to learn it. You have to learn it. So it simply says, Jesus is calling us that come to Him. Even when it is dark, He will give you light. When you are fast, He will give you water. So just resonates with what Reverend James was saying, that Jesus knows our needs and He calls us to serve into those needs.
Pretty good.